Vancouver's downtown east side, known by locals as the DTES, is an area that is synonymous with drug addiction, prostitution, mental illness, poverty, and homelessness. Often referred to as Canada's poorest postal code, the downtown east side traditionally runs along East Hastings, from Carroll to Main Streets, and from Gastown into Chinatown. The DTES is home to thousands of people from all walks of life, ranging from the wealthy few to the poor masses lining its streets and hotels. Now, with the 2010 Vancouver Olympics under 2 years away, there's been a major push from all levels of government to clean up the downtown east side, which has led to a fierce debate about housing and gentrification in the neighborhood. Representing those who live in the area is DERA, the Downtown East Side Residents Association. Founded in 1973 in what was then known as Skid Road, DERA has always worked as a nonprofit, organizing and fighting the social issues that plague the community. Kim Kerr, DERA's executive director, is a vocal opponent of the revitalization plan proposed by the City of Vancouver and hopes to see them make a long-term commitment to DTES residents.
The city has been in the planning process for doing something, as they say, about the downtown east side and revitalizing it, probably laying the groundwork for about 10 years. It's a very recent thing in that the Olympics have given it a timetable. This is very valuable land in a city that is very dense, and it's, as you can see, right on the ocean. And so the Olympics have given developers and the government and the city and the province an opportunity to put through a plan that they call cleaning up the downtown east side or revitalizing the downtown east side. And certainly the Olympics provide a timetable because we're supposedly welcoming the world in 2010 and nobody wants the world to see what you see out my front door.
And what Kerr sees outside DERA's office is often compared to third world living conditions, where a lack of housing has the majority of people living on the street or in inexpensive SROs, single room occupancy hotels. Housing issues have been at the forefront of the 2010 Olympics debate with VANOC, the Vancouver Organizing Committee for the Games, signing an agreement to help fund low-income housing in the city. But according to DERA and other housing advocates, VANOC hasn't done enough because there are many DTES residents being forcefully evicted from their homes due to rising property values and hotel owners wanting to cater to tourists.
It's causing a great deal of hardship in the neighborhood. We're concerned that some 75% of the people living in this community are going to be displaced, even though there is an inclusivity agreement signed with VANOC and the City of Vancouver, the province of British Columbia, that says no one will be displaced as a result of the Olympics. Numbers at this point around displacement vary. Apparently, unless you carry the Olympic flag while you're throwing people out on their ass, it's not an Olympic eviction. So we suspect around 800 have been evicted so far.
When I contacted VANOC to inquire about this inclusivity agreement and their commitment to housing for the downtown east side, I was told I would get a prompt reply, but received no response. So then I went to City Hall, where Vancouver City Councillor Elizabeth Ball explained how the community has gotten to this point and how the government's strategy for revitalizing the DTES will help get many off the streets.
I think that the homelessness issue really needs to be addressed, and I know that we are addressing it as quickly as we possibly can. This situation in the downtown east side took decades to develop. In the next year, we're going to see some very real changes down there, which will make wonderful changes in people's lives and in the health, actually, of the residents, and take a number of people who now are homeless out, off the street and into clean and wonderful places for them to live.
The changes that Councillor Ball speaks of is the cooperation between the municipal and provincial governments to buy out all the remaining SROs and attempt to convert them into social housing units.
The province, working hand in hand with the city, has purchased a number of old hotels which were run down and is refurbishing the hotels, renovating them and bringing them up to standard, and also providing supportive people to work with the residents as they move into the hotels to provide new housing for the people who wish to live in the hotels, to provide a supportive living environment for them. There will also be, again, new housing built down there as well. So it's a changing environment, and that's what I meant by challenging. When a neighborhood changes for the better, there is a challenge when you see things improve for the better.
The Pivot Legal Society is an organization in the DTES focusing on the legal rights of marginalized people in the neighborhood. Pivot's David Eby has fought many cases against absentee landlords and derelict housing over the last few years, Now, Eby says what the city and province are doing is displacing more people than they're helping by closing down these hotels without finding residents immediate housing.
The main buildings that we're concerned about are these residential hotels and lodging houses called SROs. And what happens when these buildings are closed or converted to other uses is the residents, many of them, they just move out of the area. They move out of Vancouver. But many of them don't have the ability to leave the neighborhood because the services they need are here, because their community is here, and they simply don't have it together enough because of addiction or mental health issues, or they just simply aren't able to, they end up in the street. And so we've seen ever-increasing homelessness numbers in Vancouver.
With all the recent development happening in the DTES, there's a lot of skepticism around the city's pledge to include low-income housing into condo buildings going up. And according to Eby, the Olympics may be fueling this desire to relocate the poor.
I think what we are seeing is a real acceleration in development projects due to the Olympics. The municipal government wants all their projects like the Carroll Street Greenway to be done by 2010. They've undertaken a number of cleanup efforts in the neighborhood by increasing policing of this low-income community, by bringing in something called Project Civil City, which intends to crack down on what they call street disorder. And the developers have taken that as their time to get in. They also know that there's a municipal election coming up in November, and the tide may change at City Council in terms of how accepting they are of development applications in this poor neighborhood. And a large part of what's happening here is driven by the Woodwards project. It's going to have a Simon Fraser University fine arts school, big market housing tower, and also a big social housing tower. It was supposed to be the model of how this neighborhood was going to be developed. Students, middle-income people, and low-income people, and high-income people all living together. And what ended up happening was that this project, instead of being a model, was a one-off. Well, it's probably the biggest driver of the development in this neighborhood.
The Woodward site, situated between Hastings and Cordova, at the heart of the DTES, is a former historic building and shopping district. Currently, it is being redeveloped to house 536 market units and also 125 single and 75 family non-market units. Some believe that Woodward's will be a model for the area because of its inclusion of social housing, but there are many who oppose it, like Vancouver East MP Libby Davies, who sees this particular project as the defining issue in the community.
Right now, gentrification is the most serious issue facing the downtown east side. If you walk around the neighborhood, it's actually frightening. The number of properties that are being built up, the number of condo developments that are either underway or are going to be built. I'm actually quite a critic of the Woodwards development. There was a great desire in the community to have a large part of the development be social housing, and we ended up with 200 units out of 600-800. It's huge. I mean, we're talking about a 40-story tower. I think that more than any other development is going to produce an unbelievable change in the downtown east side. It's not like I don't believe that the community should be safe and it should be accessible for all people, but what I can't deal with and what I'll fight against is this idea that because you're poor, because you're low income, because you're on the street, because you're a drug user, you somehow have no rights. You are the first to be pushed out of your own community. We would not accept that in any other neighborhood. Certainly not in any middle-class neighborhood. So this is very much a class issue. And so when terms like revitalization or cleanup are used, you know, it's a code word for getting rid of people. And we've seen that in many forms in the downtown east side. I've seen it over many, many years, but it's never been as bad as it is now.
To get an idea of how gentrification is affecting the neighborhood, I decided to take a tour of these development sites with David Eby, who showed me just how serious the situation is for those who live here.
We've just crossed over Carroll Street, which is where the new greenway is going to be constructed. And the first building is the Center A, Vancouver International Center for Contemporary Asian Art. This is what I was talking about with the challenge that artists face of looking for places with low rent, but then becoming the leading edge of gentrification, making a neighborhood safer for people who aren't edgy like artists and aren't willing to live in a low-income community, but are willing to live around artists to come in and take over. If you look, the Backpackers in there with the for sale sign on it just evicted all of its tenants last week. Across the street is the Burns Block building, which evicted all of its tenants about 8 months ago. Further up on the right is a crane at the Paris Block building. It's all market condominiums. This doesn't have any social housing in it. Across the street from it, Concord Pacific has a market housing project, all condominiums, no social housing in it, no amenities for the community. And all of it surrounded by the Portland Hotel Society, housing for hard to house people with addictions. This is really where you can see the change happening in the neighborhood. Hotels emptying out, market condominiums moving in, and the art galleries leading the way. It's very frustrating to watch, very easy to predict, and the homelessness numbers are up as a result of it.
Downtown Eastside resident Kathy Walker has spent the last 15 years watching her neighborhood change from being an undesirable location to a hot commodity in the real estate market. Now Walker realizes that the community may be helpless in stopping the loss of low-income housing.
The rate at which gentrification is kind of taking hold in the community, that we've been aware for all of the years that we've been down here that this was, you know, eventually there was going to be massive changes in this neighborhood. And back in the day when the Woodward's building had shut down, there was a lot of community focus around trying to salvage that building as a community space. And what I mean by that is that there'd be plenty of affordable housing, welfare rate housing, and community amenity space in the bottom sections of just market housing and, you know, storefronts and whatnot. And, you know, we thought maybe within 5 years, the neighborhood would be completely transformed through gentrification. But it's actually been a bit slower than that. There's certainly a lot going on that we don't see, you know, the hotel rooms that are shutting down and people being evicted. But what we're now seeing on the street is this rapid change around the kind of businesses that are going up, the kind of small local affordable businesses that are closing, the high-rises that are surrounding the Oppenheimer area that are kind of new. So really just this sense of the squeeze is on from all directions, and we don't really know what this means. There's a lot of folks down here that this is home.
So in 2006, Walker and a group of DTES families formed the Jackson Avenue Community Housing Project. Their goal? To protect the homes of those living at the corner of Jackson and Cordova, and in the process creating an innovative grassroots model of cooperative living.
Well, what we've been working on for the past 5 years is trying to save a row of old heritage houses in the neighborhood in historic Japantown around the Oppenheimer Park area. And so we have had this goal to try to keep these houses from the market so that we can maintain the housing for the people that currently live here and provide long-term affordable housing. So for the last 5 years, we've been getting government support, all three levels, city, province, and federal government, to purchase and renovate these homes so that we can run them as long-term housing. So we have 19 housekeeping rooms for people on assistance or on pensions, and 7 family units. And we have a big community kitchen space that we invite people to 4 days a week for community meals. They can just come and eat with us, and there's anywhere from 25 to 35 people at a meal. And that's just an opportunity to connect in a way that's beyond just shelter and housing. It's about building relationships and friendships and people having a space in the neighborhood to feel welcome in and to build out from there, you know, from a healthy base to just sort of be at home in this neighborhood.
Since there are very few public spaces left in the downtown east side, Walker gets many people dropping by her home on any given day. This is due to the fact that the increasing amount of condos in the area are being patrolled by private security forces, hired to protect these properties and hide new residents from the poverty that pervades this community.
If there's one industry that's done really well out of the influx of market housing into this poor neighborhood, is the private security industry. The business improvement areas pay them to move homeless people along on the street on the Hastings corridor, which is kind of hard to imagine, but it's happening. And all of the apartment buildings tend to have their own full-time security guards as well as part of their maintenance fee to make sure that nobody comes in who isn't welcome. We have a lawyer go down to take complaints about security guards, and because these people are generally untrained and they're just thrown into their jobs, they don't know what the extent of their legal authority is. They're getting paid minimum wage, and then they feel threatened and they do something stupid and they hurt someone, and it's very frustrating and difficult to see what's happening with this unregulated industry.
Human rights and being treated with dignity seem to be the concerns of most residents, who are feeling more marginalized than they have in the past. To them, the economic gap between those who've lived here most their lives and those who are new to the community keeps growing. There are very few people left who actually care and work to unify new and old residents instead of distancing them. Kathy Walker's situation seems to symbolize everything that can be done right in the downtown east side.
This is a very diverse housing thing. We've got people here that are struggling with addiction. We have people here that have mental health issues. We've got families, a number of children. And we find that if you are intentional about how you live together, if you work on developing relationships, that people from these various kind of backgrounds can actually live quite well together. And the stability of family life helps the single people who don't have that family base, or people that have mental health issues tend to feel safer when there's children around. People with addiction have the support that they need when they're trying to get clean. So there's this real kind of healthy dynamic that is kind of like extended family, you know. And the more people feel at home and the more they feel connected to people, the more likely they are to care about themselves and care about others around them. So I think everyone wins in that circumstance. And that's what we're trying to do with the housing and the community space. Moving to this neighborhood was very connected to my faith as a Christian, that that I really had a very strong conviction that Christian people ought to have a very serious and direct concern for the poor and for poverty in our country. And so we looked for a neighborhood that we could live in and raise our children in and be good neighbors in. And so this is where we landed. And we didn't know what it was going to all mean and what it was going to do to us 15 years ago. But I have to say, even though there have been many, many times of struggle and difficulty, I am so grateful to be in this neighborhood. It's a very dynamic, energetic, creative place, and people feel very much at home here. Our children feel at home here. The people that live around our housing have a sense of place and belonging, and I have neighbors that I've known the whole time I've been here. So it's a very tight-knit community in many ways, in spite of all of the images that people have. Those things do exist. The addiction, the abuse, the violence, that's there. There's also this other side that's very deep and very rooted here in the neighborhood.
In the next 2 years, the spotlight will be on Vancouver in the lead up to the 2010 Winter Olympics. Now it's up to the federal, provincial, and municipal governments to ensure that this international attention will focus on the attempt to combat poverty and homelessness by helping those less fortunate. Then DTES residents can feel assured that their rights are being looked after and not looked over for the benefit of a few. After all, the Olympic Games represent unity, peace, and respect toward one another, and downtown Eastside residents feel they've been marginalized for far too long. On East Hastings and Vancouver's downtown Eastside, I'm Adam Bema.